Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh-Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable.
Welcome back as we continue our interview with writer and artist Alice Cavanaugh-Scober.
To some extent, you've already discussed the themes that you cover because it's part of your life journey. Mm-hmm. Besides what you've mentioned in your life events, what other themes do you find yourself just returning to time and time again, and
in
why?
In this book or in other book? Just in general? Or
I would say in general with this four-book series.
Okay, well, in my four-book series, I mean, there's always personal stuff. Like I said, the loss of my parents, dealing with the, you know, for lack of a better phrase, the PTSD that comes with being a domestic abuse survivor, you know, that kind of thing, and kind of the PTSD that comes with having health problems, I don't know. But I also, I feel like nature and the weather come into a lot of my poetry because I feel so connected to how weather and nature, I think a lot of people feel this way, is synonymous or reflects or complements emotions. Mm-hmm. There's something about human beings that obviously connect with their environment and the weather and the natural world. We're just part of it, and so I feel like that connection is very strong. But I think themes of family, of loss, of hope, of grief, of fear. I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure I know how to answer that question. you know, that's
your answer
one.
Doesn't surprise me about the connection to weather and nature, because yeah. I'm like, one of your favorite books you've mentioned is Wuthering Heights.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
All about mm-hmm. that connection in mm-hmm. part. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, in a perfect world, I would be a writer like Emily Bronte or Lewis Carroll or, you know, gosh, I just, you know me, I love books so much, but, you know, or what's his name? William Faulkner or John Steinbeck. I mean, these are some of my favorite authors, and I just love, one of the things I love about good writing and a lot of these classic authors is they have such a beautiful way of using the natural world or a description of a landscape or something to really describe an emotional place. And so in my own small way, I think that's part of what I try to do with my artwork and my writing. I'm not sure I'm successful, but I try to get there, you know. And I think in volume 4 of Naked in Wonderland, that was almost harder to do because I barely even went to my mailbox. Chris brought in the mail. I mean, I literally, for a large part of that 404 days, I was afraid to just go outside. I just was like, I gotta stay locked down or else I'll get too tempted to try to be close to Allie or Johnny or Luke or, you know, I had to keep that very small world to stay strong about staying in that very small world. You know, it was very strange. It was such a strange year and more mm-hmm. plus year plus. So yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. But, you know, at some point, the maudlin paralyzing fear, I did try to find some humor. I did try to write about some things that had nothing to do with COVID-19. You know, so there, it isn't simply that every single thing in this volume isn't directly related to COVID-19. I'm happy to say that. I'm happy to say that there are some things in there as that year, that 404 days progressed, where I was able to, you know, get back to kind of just writing, you know, about anything. And sometimes it was about COVID-19. I have a poem in there about the holidays, you know, that the difference between, you know, the pre-COVID-19 holidays and the during COVID-19 holidays. So, you know, there's a lot. It's not a fat book by any means. It's very thin, but it does. Oh, I should show, I tried to pick a cover that was brighter and prettier. One of my paintings, abstracts. I should have said that about my paintings too. I've tend to, nowadays, I go much more abstract in my paintings than I did when I first started trying to be a painter. Ha ha.
And for those of you listening on podcast, let's describe the cover bit.
Well, this is something I called, originally, I think I called it Yellow Roses of Texas. And then at some point I just dropped the of Texas because that didn't make any sense. It was just the song Yellow Rose of Texas. Mm-hmm. So this was an abstract I did that kind of had a pinkish apricot background with some texture for the roses that were yellow with hints of pink and green in the overall painting, and they're just like just blotches of roses. They're just floating in this background of kind of apricot color. I don't know. But it was one of my favorite paintings. It was, we raffled it off during a concert back in the old days at Logan Street Sanctuary before we had that venue. So, I've always regretted, why did I give that painting? Mm. I hope whoever has it loves it.
Somebody is enjoying it very much.
Let's hope so. But I chose that as the cover because I thought it had interesting colors, with that apricot background. And yet it was bright enough, cheery enough that, you know, if someone read the title, oh, Poems and Images of COVID-19, bleh, you know, boy, sad, terrible, awful, you know, they might think, well, maybe this would not be so bad. So
what's interesting to me is that when I saw the cover, I kind of thought of that image of the actual red coronavirus and how you had turned it into something transformative and beautiful.
That's so funny that you thought that, because I sort of picked this because it had those circular roses that are, they're very abstract. They're not like a detailed, perfect illustration of a rose. But I kind of thought, well, it's not the colors of that you see all the time for that blown up coronavirus, you know, particle of virus. But I thought, well, they're circular, it's round, it has that same feeling of microscopic, you know, visual. You know, if you're looking under a microscope and you saw this, that would be germs of, you know, that would be a virus of some sort, you know, that would be something under a microscope. So I did do that intentionally. I just didn't think anybody would pick up on it, but I should have known. I should have known. Woo! Sarah E. picked up on it. Yeah.
So, I would be fascinated to know what other writers, and let's add visual artists too, you feel have shaped your work?
Well, my mom and dad, first of all. My mom was a wonderful writer herself. She wrote memoirs and poems, and she had her own unique style in all of those things. I have the only paintings she ever did. I have, there's three of them, and that's all I have. That's all she did, because my mom was the type that, you know, she believed my father was the artist, not her. And so I have a lot of my dad's artwork too, but I think I have to say from childhood, those were pretty influential. As far as writers go, I mean, I mentioned Lewis Carroll. Name a popular children's book, I've probably read it a million times and own it. But my most favorite authors, I have to say, are Emily Bronte's Wuthering Heights, and this is in no particular order because I don't want to rate anybody. William Faulkner, John Steinbeck. I would say, let's see, poetry. Emily Dickinson's poetry. I find something in most of her poems that I love. I don't know. I love so many. Mary Shelley's, Frankenstein. You know, I love that. Bram Stoker's Dracula. These are books that color my world, my dreams, my nightmares, my life. I mean, I've loved them forever. So Gone with the Wind is one of my favorite books, as challenging as that is. You know, we chose that book for our NICE project last year, and that was a really interesting choice, because there's so much in it that I love and so much in it that's just awful, you know, on so many ways. So But I mean, I grew up with the Nancy Drew books and the all kinds of books. I was reading Proust way too early. I mean, I read my parents' books because as a sick child, I read all the time. And so our library, quote unquote, our bookshelves, like what you have behind you, I just read everything we had. It was crazy. I read the Lewis and Clark journals when I was 10. I didn't know what I was reading. Oh my goodness, so crazy. But yeah, artwork wise, I never remember names, but I think Turner is probably my favorite artist of all time. I just love the kind of mysterious quality of Turner's work. But there's so many that I love. It's hard to say.
Is there another writer or artist that you feel that your style is closest to?
In my wildest dreams, I try to write like John Steinbeck. Like if you look at East of Eden or The Grapes of Wrath, those books were laid out in alternating chapters of a descriptive kind of general chapter and then the specific story of the people in the characters in the book. And if you look at those descriptive chapters, I'm not very good at dialogue, I don't think, but if you look at those descriptive chapters, I in my wildest dreams, I could write like that. I try to write descriptively. I'm not sure if I do that or not, but that's prose writing. For poetry, I don't know. I don't know that I recognize. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, and I've read so much poetry. I'm sure I'm copying somebody, to intentionally or unintentionally. I think The Rime of the Ancient Mariner is probably one of my all-time favorite poems. And John Milton, Paradise Lost. I mean, my gosh, if I could write like that. I mean, these are my most favorites, but I don't know because if I try to write a haiku, I'm just trying to fit the form with what I want to say. So I don't know if I have a particular poet that I could say I feel like I'm trying to write like that. I don't know. I don't know.
Sure. No, that's fair.
I never thought about that before. Interesting question.
That's absolutely fair. Yeah.
Coming up, the next part of our interview with artist and writer Alice Cavaniss Gober.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.